Now, I'm full of vim and vigor. I'm rested, and I'm glad to be back to share with you because my heart is burning with the vision and passion God has placed upon me for this church. And I am so utterly sold out to doing what God has called me to do to lead you in our next great enterprise, unprecedented in the history of New Bern, North Carolina, that I'm willing to pay any price for it, including my job. I'm going to give it everything I have to pull us together, to lead you by God's grace and power to adjust our lives to what God's doing, so that at this unprecedented time in our lives, we together will do what God called us to do, and that those who become behind us or who will come behind us will find us faithful. So today, it's going to be therapeutic, as is the series, as I get to release my burden. You know, Malachi had a burden of the Lord, and he couldn't get free until he was able to release it, and that's what we're going to do today. For those of you sitting in the balcony, we are praying for those who are sitting underneath you. You didn't get that, did you? It's getting full up there. Is it hot? Is that why y'all fanning? Well, I see up there. I just wanted you to know that. Well, let's stand in honor of the Word of God as I read to you some selected verses out of the first chapter of the great book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. Got a full house this morning. Let me say that among most canonical scholars, Ezra and Nehemiah constitute one book. Let me also say that the chronicler, the guy who wrote 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, also wrote these books, though Ezra and Nehemiah have their distinctives. It was all written about the same period of time, and we on Wednesday nights have gone through Esther, and all of that was written at the same period of time, and it's when God had judged his people, and they had been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years, and God promised to deliver them at the end of that, and that's where we are here. So without any further ado, let's begin reading in chapter 1, verse 1 of Nehemiah. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanai, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days, 4 months to be exact, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, we worship you in spirit and in truth. I confess before you, before I ever got here this morning, how inadequate my worship is of you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will teach me to lead my life in such a way that it is a life of worship of you. I think nothing measures our barometer in spirituality as to how much our focus is on you and not ourselves. We come here today for you to do something we cannot, for you to do something that only you can do that will touch us at the itch of life. Nothing short of a divine encounter with God will ever satisfy the thirst of our souls. So in our brokenness and our helplessness and our need, that's what we offer you today. And we pray in that recognition that even you granted us that you would envelop us in your presence. To that end we pray, and as is always the case, we do pray that you forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they are many. We would see Jesus in him only, and it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, during my sabbatical, I bet y'all are wondering how many weeks of vacation we get a year around here. During this extended stay away, I spent a week in New York City. I love New York. Don't ask me why, I just do. For those of you who don't know, my best friend died of a brain tumor, 44 years old, leaving four children and a wife. I was there to see them, to spend time with them. And while I was there, his wife, and my friend's name is David, said, "You know, Steve, David left a meticulous journal of the last days of his life." Now, God has blessed me with the gift of curiosity. Maria thinks the flesh has ruined it, and I'm just plumb nosy. How nosy? Plumb nosy. And I really wanted to read that journal, I got to tell you. And so she said, Steve, I would like you to read the journal. Being the well-adjusted spiritual man of God you see before your day, I said, "Oh, would you? I would be glad to." A lot of kids around, so I found me a private place and I opened up the journal to read what is nothing less than copious notes of his last days, dated and everything. I got to tell you, it's kind of haunting, really, because so much of what was in detail and writing there had been the subject of our conversations on the phone. The difference being that they were more detailed because it was his interaction between he and God. I wish I could describe for you all the thoughts that went through my mind while I read that journal. I wish I could describe the unfathomable emotions that I felt, but I really can't. In fact, I'm not here today to try to define for you what I think about the journal as I read it. I'm getting a copy of it or how I feel about it. What I am here to say is that as I meticulously looked at that journal and pondered very deeply what it said, there was a raw, concrete, existential fact about reality that emerged. And I'm completely convinced that this is the truth, so much so that I couldn't care less if you disagree. I believe that life is largely shattered dreams. I really do. I have faced that fact. Largely shattered dreams. What I wasn't prepared to discover as I read that journal was what we find in shattered dreams, and perhaps more importantly, beyond them. Or maybe I shouldn't say what we find in our shattered dreams and beyond them, but perhaps who? Is God in the shattered dream, and if so, where? And how do you find Him? And what purpose or what is God doing beyond that shattered dream? I mean, I don't think it takes too much thinking to realize that if it is my contention that life is largely shattered dreams and that you're not going to find a sphere that exempts you from them, then we must find God in them and hopefully beyond them. So you might be sitting here today and said, "Oh, don't talk to me about shattered dreams. My life is primrose. The job's going well. The family's going great. Everything is happy. I just name it, frame it, wrap it up, and cellophane it. But I'm talking about when you wake up in those wee hours of the night and reality sets in. I'm talking about whether it's neurotic or not, you live in your life when things are going good in the fear that the other foot's going to drop soon. I'm getting tired of the intimidation of shattered dreams. So I have a propensity for the radical, and that's where I'm heading when it comes to this very ominous subject. So, I don't even know if the sermon I preach today will resonate with any of you, but the good news is that I found out that Jesus is quite fond of me, and even if I utterly fail, it's going to be okay. But what I'm going to try to do is answer this. Is there anything, perhaps with a capital A, in our shattered dreams and beyond them? Infinity and beyond. That's what we're going to do. So let's begin where the text does, shall we? The first thing, as I have contemplated Scripture, my friend's journal, and my life, I'm convinced of the first reality that I've discovered is that life shatters dreams. Just life. It's a dangerous existence. It's so fickle. Turns on a dime. I mean, if I'm going to get any security, it can't come from this realm. It's got to be from another. And there is another that's eternal and invincible. But I want to tap into that because I'm going to tell you right now, this world is sick. And it's troubled, and I don't have any confidence in it at all. This brother reacted to a shattered dream. I kind of find it difficult to read, actually, but I will. And because I know that you're students of the Word of God, and that you don't mind me reading, and that you're here because you want to learn, and you know that God will not bypass reason to get to your heart, you'll be very interested in this. So I'm encouraged. Listen to this, devastating, shattered dream. The Lord, the God of their father, sent word to them through his messengers again and again. Watch this. Because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But what were God's people's response? But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people and there was no remedy. He, God, brought up against them the king of the Babylonians who killed their young men with the sword in the sanctuary, in the church, and spared neither young man nor young woman, old man or age. God handed all of them over to Nebuchadnezzar. He carried to Babylon all the articles from the temple of God, both large and small, and the treasures of the Lord's temple and the treasures of the king and his officials. They set fire to God's temple, and here is where we come in, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. He carried into Babylon the remnant, not because they were good, but by his grace, because he had promised David, I will preserve a remnant that your line may endure forever. Who escaped from the sword, I might add, by God's grace, but look how pitiful, but became servants to him, talking about Nebuchadnezzar and his sons, until the king of Persia came to power. Life shatters dreams. This is not very flattering or complimentary of you, but can I tell you that you are a shattered dream? Oh yes, you're still glorious. You were created in the image of God. You have intrinsic value because of that. But we are fallen creatures of God, not what God originally intended. It is a tragedy, redeemed, reclaimed in Jesus Christ, and we'll wind up more glorious than it could have been without Him. But let me tell you, as it stands, we must recognize the fact that you and I are shattered dreams. That's not bad enough. You live in a shattered world. This is a fallen world gone bad. And apart from the redemption of God, there is no hope whatsoever. Now, that's general considerations, but let's get a little more concrete. I got to be honest with you. I'm about sick and tired of brain tumors. I mean it. My father has 5 siblings, and the youngest of those siblings is a girl, his youngest sister, the baby, Alice Faye Cobb. She has a little pain in the side of her head. She goes to the doctor. And since it's been discovered that my beloved aunt, very faithful to God and all the rest, has an inoperable brain tumor, that they're going to use chemotherapy to keep the swelling down so she can think clearly and give her as much life as possible. Almost overnight, she finds this out, and she was devastated, and she wasn't ready for silly little ditties and pious platitudes. As she talked to me, she needed someone to give her a hug and keep their mouth shut as she shared her pain. But I want you to know, life was good, and instantaneously shattered. Had a lady just recently tell me that my kid's not around. I says, really? I haven't seen him in 2 weeks. He's on a binge of drugs. I don't know if he's dead or alive. I love him. I don't know what to do, Pastor. Help me. Shattered dreams. When she was holding that little baby, was that her dream? Was that her plan? She told me recently, Pastor, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I don't love you anymore. I'm tired of being married. I'm not fulfilled. I'm leaving. Deal with it. Shattered dream. And some of you are sitting here today, you feel so cold and dead and dark. You wonder where in the world God has gone. You believe that He exists, but as far as experience, you don't sense anything. You can't figure out what it is, and that if He doesn't do something long, before long, you're just going to die. Shattered dreams. Life shatters dreams. You could get up here and list yours. I can get up and list mine. There'll be more shattered dreams than others. There'll be some more serious than others. But there will be a series, no matter how small or how large, of shattered dreams. Whatever kind of philosophy you want about life, your doctrine, your theology, or existentially how you apprehend it, you're going to have to come to terms with the reality of shattered dreams. Life shatters dreams. Now, because I have to argue with people that don't believe the faith or doubting Christians, I've got to be honest with you, that doesn't surprise me. One of the greatest Christian apologetics is to deal with the problem of pain and suffering. None of us have an exhaustible answer. There's a mystery to it. But still, there's some things I can get my mind around and understand to the point that I'm convinced, biblically and in my experience, in the lives of all the great saints, that life shatters dreams. But this other one I'm about to introduce to you might rattle your cage a little bit. But you need to come to terms with it too. And that is this: God shatters dreams. Oh, He did here. It says in verse 17, he brought up against them the king of the Babylonians, and literally, explicitly, in the biblical text, in the last sentence of verse 17, the Bible says, God handed all of them over to Nebuchadnezzar. Don't get mad at your situation. Get mad at somebody. Get mad at God. He's sovereign. Oh, by the way, do you believe he's sovereign? Now, you look at me and you might say, yeah, but they deserved it. Well, you might have a point there. They sinned, and God judged them for it, and they deserved it. Well, let me ask you, do you think that God only shatters dreams when people deserves it? Do you think that God ever shatters dreams when people didn't essentially or necessarily deserve it? Oh yeah, you shatter some dreams that are your responsibility, but others are shattered for you that you didn't have anything to do with whatsoever. And I would submit to you, you need to read the book of Job if you think that every dream that God shatters is because someone deserves it. The book of Job reveals that God did not shatter his dream because Job deserved it. There was something else at stake there. How about the Apostle Paul? He said that a thorn of the flesh, a messenger of Satan, was given to me by God. And that he prayed three times, please take this from me. The apostle did nothing to deserve the thorn. Then why did God give it? After not removing it, Paul said that God had communicated to him, because of the surpassing great revelations that God gave me, this thorn was given to me to keep me humble, lest he fall under the condemnation of pride. He said that God wanted to teach him what he's wanting to teach a lot of us, that my power is made perfect in your weakness. And then there was the journal entry in my friend's journal. The reason for my suffering, John 9. I could hardly wait. Can I read it? What are you going to do about it, right? It's the whole chapter, but I just want to read a couple of its verses because this explicitly answers the question, does God shatter dreams when people don't necessarily deserve it? Here we go. Watch this. First of all, you got to get out of Luke into John. That will help. We'll get in the flesh here in a minute. Here we go. 9:1. As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Listen at Jesus' explicit statement. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, he replied. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. The conclusion of my friend in the journal entry was the reason he was given a brain tumor and would eventually die from it, leaving a wife and four children vulnerable, I might add, was because it was for the purpose that God might display his glory. Not that he deserved it. There was a larger picture, wasn't there? Do you believe God's sovereign? I mean, I'm not taking a vote. I was just wondering if you were on the page. It sounded like the majority of you were. Let me tell you something about your shattered dream today. God either ordained it or he allowed it. And at the bare minimum, if you're sitting there in your shattered dream, in good old Southern vernacular, he ain't fixed it yet, at least. And take it from me, there's going to be some he ain't going to fix. If it brings you comfort that there is a realm of reality in the world you live that is outside the control of anybody and everybody, including God, and that gives you comfort, then have at it. As for me and my house, nothing occurs to me that does not pass through the nail-scarred hand of Jesus first. That means there's nothing irredeemable in my life. That means there's a purpose in it all. That means there's a larger picture, a greater mosaic that this fits into that perhaps only eternity will reveal. But God is a good God. He can't do an unloving thing. And I think in the meantime, I'm just going to haul off and trust Him. Life shatters dreams. God shatters dream, and He's involved with it one way or the other. The third thing I discovered in my reflection is that God is leading you to own your shattered dream. Now, I'll read a text in a minute, but let me say something. There's many times I do not volunteer my viewpoint when you're talking with me, because I know that you wouldn't like it, and I know I'm going to be honest with you. So let me just give you a little bit of warning here. If you don't want to know, don't ask me, because I won't volunteer it. But if you ask me, I'm going to tell you honestly. And I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what I believe about it, whether I'm right or wrong. I say that to say this: unsolicited advice is very dangerous. And you better be careful asking questions if you don't want an honest answer. And this is what Nehemiah, man of God, bumped up against. Look in verse 3. They said to me, those who survive... I'm sorry, verse 2. Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. Watch this. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. And boy, they let him have it, didn't they? In brute honesty. I got a little nervous here lately. Got to be honest with you. I was a little shook up. Some of you are on Steve Brown's Tape of the Month, and he sent out his CDs. He's going through a series right now. Someone just lost a bulletin from upstairs. And hold on to that, because they might need it after service. And there was something I heard on the CD, and I knew a very close friend who would have received that CD as well would hear it. And that's what troubled me. You see, my very close friend and his wife lost their child when that child was 8 months old. Now, I've lost 3 children, but I didn't get to hold them and see them, name them, and dream about them. That doesn't lessen my pain, by the way, nor my wife's. My father, he didn't mean this. He didn't understand it. He said, it's just like riding a bike. When you fall off, you got to get back up there. See, a lot of people do not legitimately think that's a loss. Folks, it is a loss, and I'm telling you today, there will be 3 children in heaven that would have been, or would have had, the last name Cobb. But they held their child, and they named him, and they dreamed about him, and he died. And Steve Brown cut loose on the CD, and he was trying to speak to people about what I am today. About owning your shattered dreams. About stopping hiding from them and not dealing with them and go after it, face them. And he whirled off in that and he says, has your child died? Then deal with it. Has this happened? Then deal with it. Has that happened? Then deal with it. So I saw him. He said, hey Steve, did you hear Steve's Tape of the Month this month? Sure did. He said, what'd you think about it? Now, I didn't know if that was a trick question, so I said, it's all right. He said, what about that one part? I said, what part? About if your child has died, deal with it. I had no idea what he was about to tell me. He said, he is so right. You can get bitter about this. You can get obsessed about it. You can cry out about it. You can do a lot of things, but you're not going to get anywhere towards healing and on with God until you grab that shattered dream around the collar and kiss it on the mouth. What did he do? He owned his shattered dream. I can tell you the liberation of my own life when I had to accept who I am. I'm not anybody else. I've got to own my own raw material. I wasn't asked to be born in this world. I wasn't asked to be born of the parents I was born of, or the situation I was born into at the time I was born, or the place. Not bemoaning that, it's just a reality. But that is a part of who I am, and I've got to own my raw material. I have strengths. I have weaknesses. I think I have more strengths and weaknesses. Maria thinks I have more weaknesses and strengths. But regardless, I have to own all that I am. I've done some bad things in my life. There's some bad chapters in my life, and I have to own those bad chapters. I have some ugly ogres in my life that I don't like, but they're a part of who I am, and I've got to own those ugly ogres. I've made some commitments in my life, and I have to own those commitments because it's a part of who I am. You and I, regardless of if it's us or our shattered dreams, must stand flat-footed and by the grace of God, grab them around the collar and kiss that demon on the mouth. Because I'm going to tell you, God is leading you right there. And if you'll go there, you'll see Him in it and you'll begin to discover what's beyond it. Which leads me to my next thought that I have come to. Shattered dreams will break your heart. You're never quite the same after them. They said to me, those who survive, verse 3, the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. I don't even think he could stand. I think it staggered him. For some days, 4 months to be exact, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. We got to be careful in the church. Did you know that we have the power of making people ashamed because they're expressing their pain and suffering? Just trust the Lord. I'll be praying for you, brother. Don't do that. You know what my wife's friend told me up in New York? If one more person comes to her and quotes her Romans 8:28, that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to purpose, you're going to slap them. Can you imagine me calling my aunt about the tumor and saying, well, just remember, there's a silver lining in every cloud. Just remember, it gets the darkest just before the light. Just trust Jesus. Just pray for Him. Let me tell you something. If I'm diagnosed with the tumor, I'm going to be the biggest baby in New Bern, and you're going to have to deal with it. Embrace your pain. Feel the pain. Don't be ashamed of it. It hurts. It stinks. I don't like it. Maybe one day I'll have a better perspective on it, but for right now, I am upset. God can handle it. And you're not going to go on with Him until you get there. It will break your heart, and it's okay to experience the pain. Well, I guess I'm going to have to conclude. You glad I'm back? I thought I'd come and bless you. Some of you are not going to agree with this next thing. That's okay. This is the conclusion I've come to, and now I'm building the rest of my life on it, if I'm right, and I think I am. It's going to sound strange to you. It's going to take you a while to contemplate and think about it, and that's fine, but work with it. But this is my contention. Shattered dreams are God's strange path to greater dreams. Let me say that again. The first two services, I think, gave me an amen. Shattered dreams are God's strange path to greater dreams. without in the slightest degree minimizing your indescribable pain and your irreplaceable loss, can I tell you that God is there, and His movements in your soul is to get you to embrace a new, different, better, if you can believe it, greater kingdom dream. Now let me tell you something. I have looked back over my life. I've been very reflective of late. I have discovered that the greatest things that have ever happened to me were after a dream was shattered in my life. When I was lost, independent of God, my life was absolutely, God's always had a deal radical, absolutely broken in two. But through that, I was saved and found Jesus. Just before I met my wife, I was with this very good-looking Christian girl. She loved Jesus so much, she didn't wear pants. Thank God she wore a dress. She didn't believe in wearing pants. She didn't go to movies, and I was impressed with all that back then. I've grown a little bit. But we connected. Her dad had written books and Christian studies, and it was just like the perfect match, man. You could just see it. Everything was just right. And we got into this little disagreement, and we couldn't get it right. And I can still remember to the day, on the back porch of her swing, her absolutely sobbing for losing this great catch. And she was sobbing, and I was too. It just, we both knew that it wasn't meant to be, and it was a heartbreaker. And I can remember thinking, that's it. I'll never meet someone that loves Jesus like that. I'll never have a part. Thank you a lot for getting my hopes up and then just dashing them. And He didn't strike me dead. I thank God for that shattered dream, because I wouldn't have met the absolute dream of my life. I couldn't be better matched. Now, I don't have time to tell you everything I don't mean about what I'm telling you today, because I know it doesn't always work out. But I can tell you right now, my friend that died is living a greater dream today than he would here, as crazy as it might sound. I'm going to get you on it all. I'm just telling you my experience. I lost 3 children, and I think, quite frankly, in a cruel way. God took a child, and we always planned to have 2, and Maria became pregnant again with twins. Isn't God good? He's blessed us with twins, and now we're going to have 2 at the same time. Isn't He good? And He took them, not on the same day, at different times. One died, a few weeks later the other did. 3. And I told him at that point, I said, listen, God, I'm not turning this into a crusade. I went down to a track at a high school. I said, I'm not turning this into a crusade. I can adopt. I can do 101 other things. I said, I can't go through this again. Now, I don't know how to say this, and I'm not really saying anything about it. I'm just telling you what one of my kids said to me one day. They came up to me and said, Dad, have you ever thought about it? If one of those 3 children would have made it, you would have never met me. Strange, isn't it? You're a dream on the heels of a shattered dream. I always knew what I want. Every vocational, academic, and personal goal would be established by the time I was 40 years old. I was asked in seminary, what is your dream church? Right off the bat, I said, West Asheville Baptist Church. I am destined to pastor that church. Oh, come on, I am. And the pastor resigned, and they said, hey, it's time to find a pastor. The staff said, I'm the man. Some of the stakeholders in the church said, I'm the man. But the chairman of the committee was the chairman of the committee when I had turned them down for an associate pastor role, and that made him mad. He never liked me since. So come heck or high water, he wasn't going to let me in if he had anything to do with it. So for 2 years, they looked for a pastor and couldn't find one. And I'm thinking in my arrogance and all the super spiritual ones that the reason they can't find one is because I'm the man, and eventually you're going to come my way, and I'm going to fulfill the dream that God has for me. As a matter of fact, there had been times, not many, but I got to be honest with you, when I walked in the darkness of that sanctuary, got behind the pulpit, and envisioned my future. Well, after 2 years, the protocol was to send a letter, ask for my resume, and to call me in for an interview. That was a courtesy. Every pastor was extended. I got my letter in about 3 days after they contacted me. I said, ooh, this can't be good. And it happened to be a night when Maria and the kids were gone, and I was at the house alone, and I opened up that letter, and it was a standard Dear John letter telling us that they were going elsewhere. And I said to God, I said, this is your sovereign decision. I've got to accept it, but you're going to have to help me with this one. I went into the house, and I looked down at the caller ID, and for the first time, simultaneously with that shattered dream, I saw the name Ken Cochran, who happened to be the co-chairman of the pastor search committee of this church. And because of that shattered dream, I got this dream, and let me tell you something, far greater than that dream. That boy was there 6 years, had nothing but a tumultuous experience. He just recently resigned, and it's going to do him no good to come after me now because I'm where God wants me to be. Amen? We got more people here than they do. You're better looking people than they are. And I make more money than their pastor. So how do I close this as we begin this new series? Through the blood and tears, hold on to the promise. I believe now that the reason that's just going up is that God had to shatter another dream for us. And I go on vacation, I can't believe how it's progressing. Now I need to tell y'all something today in closing. This is important. Don't dial out on me because you know you're fixing to go and you're hoping to beat the other churches to the restaurant. Listen, I say this before you and God. I am willing for God to shatter that dream now. I'm willing. Because now I have lived long enough to know that the greatest things that have happened to me have been after he shattered dreams. And that I have an ultimate dream waiting on me no matter what. And if he shatters a dream, he will be with me in it. And there will be something before me beyond it. And that goes for you too. And I say that in confidence in my Heavenly Father, that shattered dreams are his strange path to greater dreams. Let's stand. Father, some of your gifts are very painful. Lead us to find you in them and beyond them. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.